Good morning, everyone. Is there a little bit of excitement in the house this morning? You know, we had this kind of like loose idea outline of what we wanted to do and talk about this morning, what we wanted today to look like as we celebrate, you know, ongoing 40 years as a church, you know, and I'm going to get weepy here already. I just want you all to know how beautiful you all are.
Amen.
Even Dennis with his shirt.
Amen.
But just, you know, in the back and seeing folks come in and seeing this joyous reunion of handshakes and hugs and, hey, I haven't seen you in forever, and welcome home, and singing and praising, and God just said, you think this is amazing, when do you get to heaven?
Amen.
As we celebrate 40 years, and maybe some folks we haven't seen in a few years, whatever, when we all cross over and we stand before the throne and we see him face to face and we see all those who have gone before us in the great reunion and joining the praise of our good God who has made all this possible. So this is just a little slice. So we are beyond thrilled and just overjoyed that everyone could be here and welcoming those who are still, you know, via live stream here today, and, you know, and looking forward to what God's going to do this afternoon, and really, that's what we just felt it should be. Today is just a celebration. You know, in past years, when we've done our anniversaries, we've done maybe a theme or something like an outreach, or, you know, and certainly today is no different. You know, our hope every Sunday or whatever service we do is that if you're here for the first time, that you experience the love of God in an authentic and relevant way, because that is why everyone else is here. Because they've experienced it in some way. But today we just wanted to say thank you. Not to you for, you know, for being here and being a part of this journey, this adventure over the years, but more importantly to say thank you to Jesus Christ, because he makes it all possible. So that's why it's called From All of Us. You see it on the wall there, thank you, and it's going to be, you know, I don't have a whole lot today. We're just going to share authentically, but I did want to, I thought it appropriate to start with this. Way back when, in 1981, you know, the church formerly known as Sun Life, our central verse, 1 John 5:12, right?
He who has the Son has the life.
Yep. He who has the Son has life. Can we read that together? Let's read this scripture and let it cement into our hearts. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. And as I reflected, you know, personally this past week, and I wasn't here for all 40 years. Almost. 37 and a half of it, you know. But as I thought about it, you know, and just reflecting on all that God has done and what he continues to do, and we think about what are the hallmarks, what are the benchmarks, what are the things that, you know, that are in our DNA, in our personality that has allowed the church to endure for 40 years. It comes back to this. Because we don't make it about buildings. We don't make it about programs. We don't make it about people. We make it about Jesus Christ and being authentic and letting him work in our lives and submitting to him, being humble to say, God, my life is unmanageable, right, CR? Celebrate Recovery? Amen. You know, and so I need you. And so, and when he comes in and he breathes life into things, every area of your life is going to be better with Jesus than it is apart from him. And that's what makes it endure, you know? So we wanted to talk about that and share that a little bit. And John 1:4, let's read John 1:4 together. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This church on a hill continues to be a beacon of hope for people, because we let Jesus shine within us. And that's the difference, you know? The world wants to, you know, we live in these strange times, you know, where lawlessness has increased and the darkness wants to grow darker and all those things. We can have a lot of reasons to look back and look at things and see the glass as half empty and see all the things that are wrong, but yet that's from the enemy, who wants to steal, kill, and destroy every good thing that's in your life. He wants to pervert and twist and corrupt everything that God has created that is good. And so in him is darkness, but we're not of darkness. If you have tasted but a glimpse of Jesus Christ, then his light shines within you, and that light, the word promises, cannot be overcome by darkness, and that light will endure until the end of time, until he comes again, and we go to be with him. And that, even though the darkness does not comprehend it or understand it, the light shines brightly. And so it's, you know, God doesn't do anything by accident. This church is here on a hill for a reason, to be a physical and, you know, metaphorical beacon for those who are searching. You know, so what else can we say? But Lord, thank you. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for calling and loving us so much that you would design and direct and start with Rick and Nancy and direct them, and then from there that calling would spread out. And, you know, like Rick said, the ripple effect, we'll never know the full effect until we reach the other side and we stand before God face to face, and then we'll see, we'll know in full, the Apostle Paul says, and we'll know in full just as God fully knows now, you know. But to see what he's done and then how people have been obedient or faithful and then obedient and humble to follow that call and pick up the torch and carry it forward, you know. I look around the room and I see this is just but a fraction of the lives that have been impacted in a positive way because of what God has done. So, Lord, thank you, right?
Let me throw in there about the light that shines. You know, back in 1980, the end of 1980, I was cutting down trees. We were going to build a house. Nancy was working second shift. So we had a little baby. So when she would go to work, then I would take care of the baby. So I came in from cutting down trees that day. We were going to build a log house, which come up to the picnic, you'll see it. And I lay down on the couch and I fell asleep. And then the Lord woke me up and he said, I want you to start a church in this area. For I have no one. And I've said this many times over the years, and it sounds arrogant and it sounds boastful and it sounds ridiculous. But I heard the audible voice, and he said to me, for I have no one who will preach my uncompromised word in this area. And so, you know, when I say uncompromised word, we have spent 40 years trying to understand what God's word is, truly, what it means, and to speak it uncompromisingly. And, you know, where the cookie crumbles, it crumbles. And for that reason, I know I've made a lot of enemies over the year, and I've also made a lot of friends. But the light that shines, you know, when you say it's Jesus, it is Jesus. But Jesus is the Word. He is the Word incarnate. And it is the Word that changes people. It's the living Word. It is a double-edged sword. It drives to the quick. It changes. And Jesus Christ requires 100% surrender and commitment to obeying His Word. And when we do that, He promises to bless us beyond our imagination. But it's when we hold back. It's when we say, yeah, I'm not sure that's really for me. I don't think it really means that. That's when we start hedging on God's word, that's when the light becomes dim. But that light that shines from this hill is the uncompromised word of God that just is spoken boldly, truthfully, and lovingly. But we will not dilute or compromise God's word.
Amen.
Amen.
Jenny and I were talking yesterday a little bit, and just, you know, if God had told you 40 years ago that Rick, you're gonna do this, and 40 years from now, you know, your average attendance at church will be 300. You know, you could stop there and kind of go, you know, after all the effort and all the energy, and you think, but we have to put it, I think, in perspective a bit too. You know, again, that's the darkness wants to look at the glasses half empty. Put it in perspective and say, 40 years from now, the church will have endured a global pandemic, the likes of which the world has never seen before. It'll see upheaval and turmoil and a rejection of God's lawlessness that was unimaginable 40 years ago. You will see how that will be debt-free and continue to be debt-free, which is why we were able to survive a pandemic, because we didn't have to worry about those things, you know. And the untold life transformation, the uncountable life transformation. Well, that's what it says, okay, Lord, let's get up again, and we'll do it again, you know, and we'll keep plugging away, and we'll keep doing it through all the, you know, because it's an adventure. I know it's been. And Jenny and I are getting to experience that, you know. And like any good roller coaster, it has big drops and big climbs and big drops, you know. But to say that through it all, you know, it's worth it because... because God thinks we're worth it. He thinks we're worth the effort. He thinks you're worth the effort. That's why he does it. Because he loves you and he wants the best for you and he wants that life transformation. So.
And the other thing that's awesome to me is empty chairs in the sanctuary so that people that do not have a home will feel that there is a space and place for them. But through the pandemic, and even before that, we are in awe. I need a new microphone. My microphone? Okay. Through the pandemic, we were just in awe at the number of people that were watching live stream. We had a neighbor walk over to our house and say, "I've been watching your live stream every week." And we're like, "What?" You know, and yeah, hey, if she's there, hey, Jen. Yeah, well, now we'll get her to come to church too. But it's been a resource and a tool. And the other thing that's amazing is, you know, what Satan meant for harm, God uses for good. And he always uses it to build, and he always looks for, as Cliff and Rick were talking about, the opportunity to build his church and build his kingdom. So it's awesome to me how God has allowed this church, even to, we feel like we're at a pause, or we feel like, oh, like what's happening, like it's a rebuild, but then we see God just do an explosion of people coming to him. And the other thing that I thought was awesome is when you think about the hundreds and possibly thousands of people that have walked through the doors here, the thousands of people that have walked through the doors, and the children in India that are being fed through your offerings, what Satan meant for harm to shut down an orphanage of 10 children has now turned into us being able to reach hundreds and hundreds of children for Christ. And, you know, that's just, God is a God of multiplication. He's not a God of division. He's a God of multiplication. So when we think we're going to, you know, we talked about one time, I remember, instead of, you know, divide and conquer, multiply and conquer. You know, and, you know, that's why we have the small groups. That's why we're a church that loves each other authentically. That's why we have teams of people that help each other. You know, when somebody's in need, we try to meet that need. And, you know, this morning I wrote in my journal that 40 years we've been doing this, and we are committed to the next 40 years and passing that to the next generation, to all these little ones that are in here. We asked Yvonne to let the little ones stay in here because Jesus said, "Let the little ones come to me, for they are the kingdom of God." And we don't know, one of these little ones might be a pastor one day and might be standing up here, you know, leading the music and preaching the uncompromised word of God because they heard it. And that's how Cliff and I started, too. We heard Rick and Nancy preaching the uncompromised word, and it pierced our hearts, and we wanted more of Jesus.
Yeah, so that's a good opportunity to go to this, which is, so I found this picture on the left, and that's one over here. And that's not even still the original build, because, again, that's your original building back there. But that's what it used to look like. And then that picture I took yesterday. So, you know, we reflect back on 40 years, and you say, you know, what is this? And here's the question that we're asking you today. You know, you can see everyone has a card on your chair there, and that's our gift to you.
No, it's the door prize ticket.
It's the door prize ticket that's there also. And the pen, which you can keep. But really what we wanted to do is give you an opportunity to give a praise offering to Jesus for what he's done. And by asking the question, you know, what are you thanking Jesus for? But what is his church here meant to you? You know, and so, you know, I think we're all going to share that in like 2 or 3 minutes each.
Miracles never cease.
He'll take one of Nancy's minutes.
Aw.
Like Jenny said, I was about 9 years old when I came to the church for the first time, and it, you know, the parking lot looked like that for sure. The siding looked like that for sure. You know, and so as I look back and say, if I could sum it up in one word, it would just be, well, it's two words. acceptance and safety. That as an insecure little boy whose world was falling apart, I walked here and a children's ministry worker came up to me and was the first person to greet me and introduce themselves and said, "What's your name? I'm really glad that you're here today." And from that first interaction all the way up until this moment, this church has been filled with people who authentically love each other and want to and do the very best they can to make everyone feel authentically loved. And so, you know, I grew up here as a child, and then the teenage years and the angst and all that stuff that goes with the teenage drama goes with that, and then my young adulthood and my immaturity there and ministry mistakes and all that stuff. And through it all, people, starting with my pastors, their team, and then my best friend who would become my wife and my pastor, starting with them, but then other people, countless other people, all just accepted me and loved me right where I was, as I was, all while then, through the uncompromised word, encouraging me to be transformed by God. And I look at that building and I think, that's what God does in our hearts. What he did the building, he's doing in our hearts. You know, the building has changed, it's transformed, it's become beautiful, it's become, you know, more dynamic, it's become all these things, and that's what God does in our hearts when we submit to him. You know, he goes to work, and you know, we just bring all of it, all ourselves to him, and say, Lord, here it is. You know, the prayer I prayed at 17, after a number of years in the church, was, God, I made a mess of my life. If you can do anything with it, it's yours. And then I don't say the rest is history, because it's not quite that simple, but that's pretty much what happens. You know, when we go to him and say, Lord, here it is, I'm giving it to you, he does something incredible and beautiful with it. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to each and every person who has played a part in that, whether you're here or, you know, watching or have moved on or you're in heaven now, you know. I'm very grateful for that. And so I say thank you. And I say thank you, Lord, for bringing such people who model your love to me and to so many others. And so that's something that I then carry forward. You know, Lord, help me to be that place, that person that helps other people to feel safe and to feel welcome and to feel loved. So that's what it's meant to me.
I don't know how you sum up 40 years. I've been coming here since I was 6 years old, 6 or 7. My grandmother brought me. And the first word that came to me was that God rescued me. As a child, you know, my family was going through some really difficult times. And when I started coming here, my parents started coming as well. They kind of followed me here because they knew I was excited about it. I was learning a lot about Jesus, and they wanted to come too. And my parents ended up giving their lives to Christ here. And then our lives got perfect. No. Because when you do something, when you take a step toward Jesus, Satan tries to thwart God's plan. But he has no authority over us in Jesus' name, right? And that's what I learned as a child, using Jesus' name and speaking his name over things. And the thing that wowed me as a child was that when we first started coming here, my dad had an accident at work. He put a 2-inch staple in his knee. And he had kind of yanked it out immediately, and, you know, out of kind of a reaction. And when he went to the hospital, they said, you will always walk with a limp. Because of the damage that it had done. And he came to church the next Sunday, and Pastor Rick he was the prayer team at the time. Pastor Rick was the prayer team. So we came up, for prayer at the end of the service, and God told Pastor Rick what was wrong with my dad without my dad having to tell him. And he just put his hands on my dad to pray for him and said, I pray for this man's right knee. And my dad was like, whoa, I didn't even tell him what was wrong. And he was healed, and he never walked with a limp. And, you know, and that healing was for my dad, but it was also for me as a child to see the power of God at work. So, you know, I remember sitting up front, and one of the huge blessings that I have as a worship leader is getting to watch your kids worship Jesus on Sunday mornings. I love watching them praise and sing and kind of want to lift their hands up in praise and looking up to Jesus and singing. I mean, it almost brings you to tears. This is why singers close their eyes. I'm just saying, if you ever see us close our eyes, it's because sometimes it's so overwhelming to watch people in worship. I love seeing the men in the back of the church lifting their hands up and praising God, and just, that's what's so cool. We have a church of men and women and children that love Jesus. Yeah. Over the years, being kind of Rick's sidekick, you know, and helping him, and the Lord calling me to help him and be his assistant, him telling me that God was calling me. No, it was God worked it out. God snuck up on me. Sometimes he sneaks up on us. with things that we least expect. But I have seen God be faithful time and time and time again to provide where we needed it, to bring the right people at the right time. You saw, see that siding up there? The week we did that siding, it just so happened that a couple came here that owned a siding business. They happened to come that Sunday, and Rick needed, we passed a sign-up sheet. Who can help with the siding? And they're like, we have a siding company, and we're leaving next week, but we're here this week, and we'll help you get the siding up. You know, and that, I mean, there's tons of things like that. And I like to call them God instances. So watching God take something that we think might be coincidence and know that there's no way we ever could have planned it without the hand of God. I've just seen him be faithful time and again.
Amen. So what has BMCC meant to me? I was never called to start a church. I was called to walk alongside my husband and help him wherever needed. And 40 years, I mean, I can't believe it's been 40 years. I really can't. But God, you know, BMCC, just seeing people come to the Lord has been, it just keeps my spirit so high, because I just know, you know, how we rejoice when someone comes to the Lord. And that's always been our focus, is to, you know, to minister to the lost, to minister to those who are seeking the Lord. And that's what Blue Mountain Community Church has meant to me over the years. Now, I've been a big part of it, I think. there's always a joke going around that I've been in charge of every ministry here except prison ministry and men's ministry, I think. Although I did prison ministry in India once. So I don't know if that qualifies, Anita. I don't know. But anyway, it's always been a joy to serve Jesus here. And, you know, if God had told me 40 years ago, this is what the next 40 years is going to look like, you know, as Cliff said, he never shows us that. He just takes us through each day, one day at a time. Because I'm not sure I would have bought into it. Probably would have. I don't know. Just because. But God never showed us, you know, those hard times. He just said, you know, I'm faithful. And as you trust in me, we're going to build a church up here. And Rick, you know, has said many times, he said no to God. You know, no, we're not building a church up here. No, I don't want to be a part of this church, you know, that you want to build up here. And God said, it's not your church. It's my church. Let me build my church. And that's always been our attitude, you know, to just sit back and let God, and to spend a lot of time in prayer, you know, about things that are happening and you know, things that are coming up. But faithfulness, I have learned to be so faithful to God and to thank him for his faithfulness, you know, and we have been so blessed by God, by all of you, all of the people that have come through in 40 years, you know, that's, it's just been such a blessing to us. So I look forward to, I want to say the next 40, I'll be 104 by then. Yeah, I'm 64. It does amaze me when I think of how God called us when I was 24 years old and Rick was 28. And, you know, to think about that now, we have four daughters. When they were going through those 20s, I thought, no wonder people thought we were crazy when we said we were starting a church. How could these kids ever start a church? You know, and but God called us. And when God calls you to do something, it doesn't matter what your age is. It doesn't matter, you know, what you're going through. He calls you. And I can honestly say I never thought, oh, I'm so young, God. How could I do this? Because, you know, when you're 20, you don't think you're young anymore, right? You think you can do anything. And we did. And God needed that attitude, or else we would have said, no, God, you know, we're too young for this. We should wait till we're about 40 to, you know, to start this. But it's just amazing to me that God called us at that time, you know, and as you can see, he stood behind us and brought us to this place today. Yeah.
Would you mind getting my Bible for me, Cliff? Sure. Be one
oh
less
boy.
Bend I'd have to do. Thank Well, I mean, I don't know who said that, but usually Steve. People are saying, don't stop, Rick. Don't stop, Rick.
It's your buddy Steve out there.
What does BMCC mean to me? Well, the word BMCC means a radical change because we're Sun Life, Blue Mountain Community Church, because we wanted our name to represent what we were, where we were, what we were doing. So I would say that, you know, I told you that story when I first, you know, about God speaking to me to start a church. And I'm laying on the couch and I'm like, and what did I say? No, no way. I am done with the church. I'm done with, you know. And then it got quiet and everything stopped and broke, blah, 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 for two weeks until I finally said yes. The reason I say that is because, you know, and after last week's time, it was so cathartic for me just to share the discipline of the Lord. And I had never really reflected on the events in my life where the Lord really whooped me and brought me pain so that I would obey him. And putting that together, and then somebody reached out to me and asked me some questions about it and stuff. And he said, you really need to write a book about this, you know. And right away, the title popped into my head, The Reluctant Christian. Because that absolutely defines me. I mean, and when I say, what does this church mean to me? My entire life, it has been my nemesis and my passion. And in that way, I'm schizophrenic. Because, you know, on the one hand, I dread today. On the other hand, I love today. There's a crazy relationship going on. But when I said no to the Lord, you know, and then when he came back to me, he said, like then he said, I will build my church. And I just want to say right now, Nancy, I mean, without her, we would not be here. I would not be here. She is. I mean, if there's a bedrock besides Jesus, it would be her. I mean, she is just unmovingly faithful. I shared with you last week about how I lost all that money that we had borrowed against the house. And what did she say? Well, then we'll just pay it back. I mean, you know, what kind of a rock is that? And every time, you know, because I told you my personality is to test boundaries. That's just who I am. And Nancy is not a boundary tester. And I think she married me because she wanted that excitement. But, I mean, you know, but if there's an example of just a godly woman who just trusts in God, it would be her. The things that I have put her through, you know, are just, I mean, I have to write a book. They're unbelievable.
Your mic's cutting in and out, sorry.
Oh, okay. They're unbelievable. But yet she is always like, Lord, I'm trusting in you here. I mean, this seems crazy to me. Even when I said, we're going to start a church. God told me to start a church, right? And people around us were saying, that's crazy. Churches are closing right now, you know, every day. The doors are closing. And Nancy said, I believe the Lord told you that, so then yes, let's do it. And every step of the way, she's just been, yes, I'm putting my trust in the Lord. And it's just, I mean, in fact, I would say that, you know, the Lord's, I talked last week about the wind in your sails when you're saying yes to God. I, you know, and probably the way I came across was I was taking credit for that because I was saying yes to God after his whoopings. But the truth is, I believe, is that all of God's blessings on me and on this church is because of her. Just simply trusting the Lord. She just simply trusts the Lord. And if God's word says something, she says, well, then that's what we'll do. That's what we need to do. And, you know, over the years, it's been interesting, you know, I guess this is a sign my 3 minutes is up.
No. You were talking about Nancy.
But a few years ago, the Lord just really impressed upon me that this would be my prayer. Psalm 71:18. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me. A lot of you here have grown up with me, and I, you know, and we're aging, right, Bruce? Looking at Bruce Wetzel out there. And when you start when you're 28, you think you're invincible and you'll always be 28. And now I'm 68. And my humanity and my weakness is pretty evident, you know. And so, you know, this, even when I'm old, and what I was going to say was, as you get older and as your health begins to fail you, almost begin to feel like God's abandoned you. You almost begin to feel like, holy cow, I didn't think I would have to endure this. I didn't think I'd have to do this. And so, you know, when Jen said we were going to be sharing, the Lord just brought back to me this scripture. Even when I am old and gray, O Lord, do not forsake me until I declare thy strength to this generation, thy power to all who are to come. If I can look back on my life over the last 40 years and who knows, 40 more, I just want it to be said that Rick declared, I want God to be able to say, Rick, you declared my power and my strength to this generation. You steadfastly said, all things are possible to him that believes. You steadfastly stood your ground that if you seek my kingdom first, everything else that you need and even most of your desires will be met. You stood firm and you declared my strength and my ability to do the impossible to this generation. And that's, you know, as long as God gives me breath, I'm going to declare it's not by strength or by willpower of the human being. It's by his spirit. It's by him that these things are done. And all he's ever looking for is for somebody to say yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
That's all I got.
I think it's time to praise him. Because that's what we do. We thank him for his truth, and we praise him for what he's done. Psalm 95:2. Would you read this with me, please? Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with songs. We started that this morning, and we're gonna end with that. And then Psalm 100, verse 4. It's on the screen. It's also above you, right? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. So we thought appropriate to go all the way back to the very beginning and sing one of the favorites. Well, Rick's favorite song, right? Yeah. We're just gonna do it old school. We're just gonna sing it a cappella here. But Jen's gonna lead us.
If I was leading a meeting, it didn't matter if it was church or in our home or whatever, we'd always start out with this song. And I start out, let us enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart.
I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me.
He has made me glad.
He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
And we used to, I used to sing it till everybody had a smile on their face. You're not allowed to be here and be grumpy. Because if you're grumpy, you're not in God's presence. If you're in God's presence, he will make you glad. It's just that simple.
Amen. So what we'd like to do, music team, you guys want to come up here? We're going to get ready to sing our last song. It's a special song. Anyone want to talk about it? Or?
Yeah. So a few weeks ago, I wasn't here, and my plan kind of got changed for the day, and I woke up and I wasn't feeling well. So I stayed home from church and I just prayed and I felt the Lord say, I want you to write a song from the congregation to me for all that I've done. I'm going to probably cry during it, but that's okay. So the song is called From All of Us. And while I was home by myself, I just had time to reflect on what God had done over the last 40 years. and what he did through Rick and Nancy. So they were in my heart while I was writing it too. And you guys were all in my heart and in God's heart. So I hope that this song will resonate with at least a few of you. I know some of you have only been on this journey a short while, and some of you have been on this journey a really long time with us, but we're grateful for all of you that we've picked up along the way. So we have something special for you to do as a response during it.
Yeah, so the card is there. You can write, you know, either now, or we'll take some time after service or to this afternoon to write what you want to, you know, your thank you to Jesus, and then we're going to collect them. There's buckets throughout the room here. Dave's got one there, and Roz got one there, and or up at the picnic, we'll have a place for you. Drop it in there, and we're going to post them on the walls for the next couple weeks. So if you don't want to anyone else, if you want it to be, you know, private, then either don't sign it or don't turn it in. But if you're okay with putting it up there, we want to just let it to be a testimony and a testament to God's goodness and all that He's done, so that we can encourage one another. I really felt the Lord kind of impressed us to say, you know, let's help each other have a visualization, an understanding of what preaching the uncompromised word, what it does. So this is where our audience participation time, okay? Can you do this with me? Everybody's like, yeah, okay, I don't know what we're doing. All right, first question is simply this. If you gave your heart to Christ as a result of the teaching at Blue Mountain Community Church, would you stand? Which I did. Woo! All right, there's going to be a lot of this going on, so maybe, I don't know, maybe you just want to, some of you just want to keep standing. If you got baptized as a result of the uncompromised teaching at Blue Mountain Community Church, would you stand? That's great. If you came as a result of a friend's invitation to Blue Mountain Community Church, would you stand? I got to keep standing up. If you ever invited someone to come to Blue Mountain Community Church and they came with you, would you stand?
Awesome.
If you have gone through our discipleship classes as a Blue Mountain Community Church, would you stand? Twice. Simon says, if you have ever served in a ministry in Blue Mountain Community Church, would you stand? If you were here January 3rd, 1981, anybody? Can you stand? Raise your hand if you have to. If your life is in any way, shape, or form better as a result of having met Jesus than it was without Him, Amen.
So we want to encourage you to take this time to worship along with us, to think about the way that Jesus has impacted your life, and take this time with that card, and maybe by the end you'll feel like you can sing along with us to this new song.
In love with your ways, Lord, we long.
Continue until the end of time to be about introducing you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here for the first time, or maybe you've been here all these years, and it's today it all makes sense. If today's the day you would say yes to Jesus, if you want a relationship with Him, you've heard us talk about it, what it's like to have a relationship with Him, and all the things that we've experienced as a result of it. If you want that, can I ask you to just raise your hand? Lead us in a prayer. Just ask you to repeat it one sentence at a time. You could all pray it with me. we welcome you into the family of God, and give us true reason to celebrate today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your overwhelming love for me. That you love me so much that you died for me, rose back to life, and you're coming again one day. And because you love me, Lord, you send out your word through this church so that I could know you. Today, Lord, I begin a relationship with you. I say yes to you. I'm stepping out in faith. And I thank you, Lord, for your promise. You won't leave me. You won't abandon me. You're going to lead me on into the abundant life that you've promised. Thank you, Lord. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.